GX on Agriculture with Rod McDonald.
Good afternoon, 17 after 12 after 1 in Manitoba, and welcome to the program. Week 5 in GX 94 Supper in the Field contest, and of course we are registering for this week's Supper in the Field. Today, you can call in and register your farm at 306-783-8622. All we need is your name and the location of your farm, approximate location of your farm. We'll toss that into the draw barrel. Then on tomorrow on GX on Agriculture, I make a draw from all those entries, and we'll be off to that farm later tomorrow afternoon with supper, in this case courtesy of Kentucky Fried Chicken in Yorkton. Also, we leave our lucky winners with some prizes from our other sponsors, Patterson Agriculture and Sask Milk. So again, that number to register your farm family, remember you have to do it each and every week because we do toss out those entries each week, 306-783-8622. Well, what do we have on the menu over the lunch hour today on GX and Agriculture? Well, we'll hear from Cam Dahl, president of Cereals Canada. Also, from Manitoba Agriculture, manager of crop development, Anastasia Kubinek will be along. Manitoba Agriculture out with its weekly crop report. Anastasia will tell us what sort of harvest progress we had this past week. And today's special on the program, we'll hear from Federal Agriculture Minister Lawrence McCauley. He weighs in on the topic of giving some help to livestock producers. The government announced the designated drought areas late last week, where producers in those designated areas will be eligible to defer income tax on the sale of breeding stock to the following year. That also, we spoke with the minister about green transportation. Of course, McCauley and the rest of the Liberal caucus in Saskatoon last week, and McCauley and Transport Minister Mark Garneau took the opportunity to host a roundtable discussion on rail green transportation. So we'll hear from Minister McCauley on the program today as well. First, the Agriculture Weather Outlook. It's a presentation of Yorkton Raymore and Watrous New Holland. And Sean Prahika, your REMAX Blue Chip Ag Division Specialist.
Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather.
And now with Precision Weather meteorologist Phil Spieback, and overcast today, Phil, nothing falling from that. Is that basically what we expect for the remainder of this day?
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of cloud cover around, but not a whole lot of precipitation from these. The bulk of the showers have shifted pretty far off to our south. In fact, what was a lone cluster or two of showers over the Dakotas and over Minnesota this morning has really expanded into a large area of rainfall, all associated with the same system. We're just on the northern fringes of it. So while we've got the cloud cover, the moisture is closer to the actual center of the low, which is tracking across the central plains of the U.S. this afternoon. Actually, it doesn't even get there until tonight. We're dealing with cloud cover that's ahead of a storm, still barely crossing the four corners down out of Colorado right now. It'll be heading toward the central plains, and then that gives us three states of separation between the core of that storm and ourselves. High pressure sitting just off to the north is going to block that moisture from pulling northward, and that's why, while it's fairly cloudy, nothing is really getting up here as far as much precipitation. Temperatures struggling, though, this afternoon. Through the single numbers to around 10, we've seen that slow rise through the morning, and no real climb through the afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. Some of the thicker cloud cover is going to shift away to the southeast following the moisture, down to around 1 tonight with that partly cloudy sky. And for tomorrow, we're partly to mostly sunny. Everything just pulls a little bit farther southward, so that high that this afternoon is going to be sitting over northern Saskatchewan is going to pull southward, moving over most of southern Manitoba, and southern Manitoba, southern Saskatchewan are going to be right in the bubble of the high, and that keeps us in good shape. The storm, though, is still to the south. It's going to be slowly meandering and intensifying as well. So it is going to be a pretty unsettled pattern we're getting into. Nice break from it, though, tomorrow. Cloud cover is going to start to move back in on Thursday. The storm develops, intensifies, tracks northeastward. It moves into the Great Lakes, and that's clearly not a direct path for us, but what happens is there's a secondary low that develops behind it, and that's going to pull some of the moisture back, and that's where we get into some extra cloud cover tomorrow. Showers may get close, especially into western Manitoba late tomorrow, the high near 11. They will expand northwestward through Thursday evening through Thursday night. And then for Friday, while that system pulls away, there's yet another system that's going to follow right behind. These are all going to connect over time. But in the meantime, it's just wave after wave of low pressure tracking through. This one has the most direct impact because it is the most far north. It's going to be moving rather than across the northern U.S. It's going to move across southern Canada, bringing the core of the energy right across for us. That'll pick up our wind on Friday, a few spotty showers through the day. And then it'll bring in some steadier rainfall on Saturday and quite a cool air mass. Temperatures struggling to around 7. In fact, might even drop back a bit on Saturday with a very gusty wind to go along with those showers.
Okay, thanks, Phil. Now, this hour's temperature roundup, the Paw, 4 degrees. 5 this hour for Roblin, Indian Head, Wynyard, Wadena, and Kelvington. Hudson Bay also 4. Swan River, Broadview, Mooseman, 6 degrees. 7 in Dauphin, 8 for Shoal Lake Russell and Saskatoon. Regina also reports 7 degrees this hour. Again, Wynyard, Wadena, Kelvington, Indian Head, Roblin all at 5. In the Yorkton-Melville region, it's cloudy. The wind is west northwest at 15. Relative humidity 74%. Our temperature up 1 in the past hour, now 6 degrees. Yesterday's high and low, 11 and 4. Normals for this date, highs around 16. Overnight lows near 3. The warmest and coolest places in the province yesterday, Rock Glen got up to 18 degrees. Meanwhile, Uranium City, the Saskatchewan cold spot at minus 6. In Manitoba, Melitta, 15. Kelsey Dam, minus 3. Sunrise this morning, 6:29. Sunset tonight, 6:58. Again, our current temperature is 6 degrees. It's 25 after 12, after 1 in Manitoba. Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. I'm Rod McDonald. Despite just limited harvest progress this past week, this year's cereal crop harvest in Manitoba is almost complete. Cereals Canada President Cam Dahl says that isn't the case as you move further west into Saskatchewan and Alberta.
Much of the remaining crop, of course, has been hit in the last week or 10 days with rain and snow and cool temperatures. So we need it to warm up and let farmers take off what's left. So in the eastern prairies, there has been good progress, but that diminishes fairly quickly as you move further west.
Dahl says the quality of this year's cereal crops is good.
What has come off so far has been very, very good. It remains to be seen what impact on quality the last week or 10 days is going to have.
There have been reports published recently claiming that glyphosate residues have been discovered in processed food products, including pasta and popular breakfast cereals. Dahl says we're talking about minute quantities of residue well below levels considered harmful or dangerous.
The levels that they were finding were, of course, more than 10 times below what Health Canada has set as the allowable level. So these are really minute levels, and that's important. And it's also important for that there be a recognition of how much review and study has gone into the safety of glyphosate. It's been approved for use in over 160 countries. There's no regulatory agency in the world that considers glyphosate a health risk. Recently reviewed in the last three or four years by Canada's Pest Management Regulatory Agency. It's been reviewed by the European Food Safety Authority. It's been reviewed by the European Chemicals Agency. It's been reviewed by the Environmental Protection Agency. Recently reviewed by the Australian Pesticide and Veterinary Medicine Authorities. So this is a product whose safety has probably been reviewed and studied more than any other round product around the world. And so I'm confident about the safety. And again, the levels that were found, just one example is you'd have to be eating over 36,000 loaves of bread a day if to reach the limit of glyphosate if there's a one part per billion found of residue found. So these are very, very small numbers. And so I'm confident in the safety of Canada's system and the safety of the product. But just, you know, the fact that you and I are discussing this today and is evidence about the scrutiny that glyphosate is under around the world. And, you know, we're seeing similar stories, of course, run in the U.S., and we're seeing court cases, and we're seeing activists in Europe, and we get questions all around the world about glyphosate.
Dahl stresses the importance of following the label directions for applying glyphosate.
It's critically important that farmers do everything they can to keep those levels well below where the safety limits are set. And the way to do that is to follow the label. It's for cereal crops, for example. It should not be applied when the crop is immature, and that means anything above 30% moisture, where there's still green seeds, the plant is still depositing proteins and starches into the seed. That's when residues can happen, and so it's absolutely critically important that farmers follow the label. We need that in order to keep our markets open and to keep this valuable tool available.
Cam Dahl is president of Cereals Canada. It's 12:30 now, 1:30 in Manitoba. Time for AgriView. It's a presentation of Peebles Machine and Welding in Yorkton.
GX94 AgriView.
Rain, high humidity, and cool temperatures limited harvest progress in Manitoba last week. According to Manitoba Agriculture's weekly crop report, overall harvest is now 65% complete. In the southwest, the cereal harvest is 90 to 95% complete, and canola is 75% complete. In the northwest, harvest reported 70% complete, with spring wheat around Swan River 90 to 95% complete, and yields of between 65 and 85 bushels an acre. In the Roblin area, spring wheat is 85% complete with yields around 65 bushels an acre. The canola harvest around Swan River is reported 30% complete, yields 45 to 60 bushels an acre. In the Dauphin region, canola is 90% complete with yields of 35 to 50 bushels an acre. The field pea harvest is virtually complete, with yields ranging from 50 to 70 bushels an acre. And lentils are also most harvested, with yields of 45 to 50 bushels an acre. The Agricultural Producers Association of Saskatchewan says a federal livestock tax deferral program doesn't go far enough. Ottawa has released a list of areas that are eligible for the program that allows producers affected by drought to defer a portion of the sale proceeds of breeding livestock until the following year. APAS President Todd Lewis says a large part of the province is eligible, but not all. He says many producers in the western and southeastern corners of the province are not eligible.
You know, our comments when we asked weren't certainly the timing's good. It's early, good and early, and to get it out early for the producers that are in the designated areas. We're looking now, there will be an appeal process, how that's going to work, you know, before the end of the year. Other RMs and areas will probably need to be included in this. There's going to be producers going to fall through the cracks, and it's the hay shortage is certainly province-wide. There's nowhere that really has excess hay, and if they do, it's very expensive to transport and into areas that do need it. So we'll see as this plays itself out. It's a good start, but we think it's going to have to go further.
Lewis says all Saskatchewan producers should be eligible for the program. Meantime, Federal Agriculture Minister Lawrence McAuley says he's willing to consider extending the designated drought area. McAuley says he'd look at a wider area, but says making some changes may be difficult.
As you know, the program has designated regions, and then that has declined to 50% in forage crops. If there's any area that they feel that has not been, it has to go in different zones. I think it's in they have zones anyhow. So if there's any way that they think we can do something that can be done within the program, we try to do it. But it's, I think it's an area coach or something like that. I sat down with Rick Toney and the Saskatchewan Cattlemen. I guess you could say we stood up. We had a great chat on this, and they weren't humble about telling me the way the thing was, and I told them just basically how we were doing it. It went quite well. But if there's areas that we can improve in, which might not be easy to do, but if we can, we will.
But don't hold your breath.
You know, there is a criteria that I have to follow as a minister, and, you know, in order to change all that type of thing, you know, government's just, it doesn't work simply. There is a program in place that works reasonably well. What we work on is to focus to make sure that we get the money out as soon as possible, or the program announced as soon as possible so they can defer their income. And that's so important. But to extend the areas might not be simple, but as I said, I'm open to hearing from them.
And McCauley and the Liberal caucus were in Saskatoon last week. McCauley and Transport Minister Mark Garneau hosted a roundtable discussion on rail green transportation.
What was pleasing a bit, a lot, was to see the farmers and the agriculture representatives and the railroads sitting down face-to-face and talking about the issues. It was a great meeting that we had. It's an open dialogue, and in my business, and I've been around this quite a while, if you can get, we could have differences, we could be annoyed with one sector or the other, but when you sit down and discuss the issues on the business policy and how things should be done, it works better. And without a question, the meeting in Saskatchewan was great. I think both sides appreciated it very much, and I think you would hear them saying that. Communications. Look, if you're going to do anything, you have to communicate. You have to sit down and talk the issues over. And I think the railways understand the value, and the farmers understand you know, what has happened over the years, and the government understands that we have to move the product on an on-time basis, a lot of it, and that's what we have to do. We know that there's grain in the bins from last year. The crop might not be quite as big this year, but there's a lot of grain to move, and we have to be ready.
Federal Agriculture Minister Lawrence McCauley. A deadly train derailment this past weekend could delay efforts to repair the rail line to Churchill. A railway worker died. Another suffered serious injuries in the derailment south of Thompson Saturday. Murad Al-Khatib is one of the principals in the Arctic Gateway Group that's recently taken over the Hudson Bay Railway in the port of Churchill. Al-Khatib says the derailment might block ballast from reaching the scene, and staff may have to halt repairs and head west to fix the recent damage. Arctic Gateway is a private-public consortium that bought the railway from Omnitrax earlier this month, and crews have been working since the sale to try to reopen the connection to Churchill before winter. Asian markets were higher today after U.S. President Donald Trump ordered tariffs on another $200 billion in Chinese goods starting next week. Ramping up tensions between the world's top two economies, investors have been expecting the move, even as U.S. officials proposed a new round of talks with China in an ongoing battle over the country's technology policy. Now, this morning, China announced it will take countermeasures. Beijing has previously released a $60 billion list of American goods for retaliation. If China retaliates, Trump has threatened to add another $267 billion in Chinese imports to the target list, which would effectively cover nearly everything that China sells the U.S. Foreign Affairs Minister Chrystia Freeland says she and her American counterpart have agreed to meet again face-to-face in Washington later this week to go over each other's positions on NAFTA. However, no exact meeting schedule has been set. Freeland says trade officials from Canada and the U.S. have been meeting in Washington since last Thursday. The renewed high-level effort to bring Canada into a revised NAFTA comes as the opposition Conservatives used their return to the House of Commons this week to criticize the government's tactics in trying to get a deal done. Conservatives said if they were at the table, they wouldn't be lecturing the U.S. on issues like gender rights and environmental concerns. And finally, this is why they say you should always wash your fruits and vegetables before eating them. A North Virginia man is charged with indecent exposure and destruction of property after allegedly rubbing his bare behind on produce at a grocery store and then putting the items back on display. Police say an employee noticed the man grabbing the items, pulling down his pants, and rubbing the produce on his butt before putting it all back. Officers say the store meant to destroy several pallets of produce. And we hope that didn't spoil your lunch today. It's 20 to 1, 20 to 2 in Manitoba. That is today's Ag Review. We have the Livestock Market Report next.
Livestock Market Conditions.
Cattle futures were down at the close today. October live cattle, 113.22, down 20 cents. December live cattle, 117.97, down 12 cents. October feeder cattle closed today at 158.02, down a buck 15. November feeder cattle, 157.82, down $1.20. Lean hog futures were up. October lean hogs, 59.17, up 272. And December lean hogs, 57.97, up 260. And those are today's closing U.S. livestock futures. We have the closing grain prices coming up in about 8 minutes from now at 10 to 1, 10 to 2 in Manitoba. Saskatchewan feeder cattle prices were mainly higher during the past week. Saskatchewan livestock economist Brad Marceniak says U.S. cattle futures were also moving up last week.
Saskatchewan feeder cattle prices were mixed but primarily higher last week. Saskatchewan feeder steer prices range between $5.80 per hundredweight lower and $9 per hundredweight higher. The biggest price decline was in the 5 to 600 pound feeder steer weight category, while the largest price gain was in the 3 to 400 pound weight category. Feeder steer prices continued to be strong and above year ago prices. The 5 to 600 pound feeder steer price averaged just over $222 per hundredweight last week, and that was about $13 per hundredweight weight, or 6% higher than the same week a year ago. Feeder heifer prices were steady to higher last week, with prices increasing between 10 cents and $5.60 per hundredweight. The largest price gain was in the 3 to 400 pound feeder heifer weight category, and on average, feeder heifer prices increased by about $2 per hundredweight.
Marceniak says Canfax reported just over 8,000 head of cattle were sold in Saskatchewan last week.
And that was up from 6,375 head marketed the previous week. Slaughter cow prices in Alberta were lower from the previous week. The price of D1, D2 slaughter cows declined $2.63 per hundredweight last week to average $85.57, while the price of D slaughter cows declined $1.84 per hundredweight to average $76.10 per hundredweight. Fed cattle prices in Western Canada for Alberta fed steers were again relatively steady this last week, with prices just increasing 6 cents per hundredweight to average $142.59. Per hundredweight.
Brad Marceniak compiles the weekly cattle market update for Saskatchewan Agriculture. It's 12:46 now, 1:46 in Manitoba. Manitoba Agriculture has released its weekly crop report. Manager of Crop Industry Development, Anastasia Kubinik, says overall, harvest is now 65% complete. However, very little progress was made this past week.
This past week has been slow for harvest. We have had a lot of our operations be very slow or stopped due to rainfall, high humidity, and cool temperatures, which did not allow the crop to continue to dry once the rain ceased.
Despite the downtime, Kubinik says harvest in Manitoba is still ahead of normal for this time of year.
For a typical year, we're probably looking at about 2% or 2 weeks earlier in harvest progress than most years. With this delay for this past week, that does get us a little bit closer to what we typically would see with harvest. With some of the later crops, though, we are definitely ahead of schedule. Even with the rain delay, we are probably looking at least 2 weeks earlier than normal. And that would be crops like soybeans and grain corn, which are being harvested already. And typically we would not see harvest occur in those crops until mid to late September. And we're already at about 20% harvested for that of soybeans, and we actually are at about 1% for grain corn. Crops that, if the rain had stayed away, we probably would have seen combining of sunflowers later last week and into this week as well, But with the wet conditions, that reduced the amount of desiccation that could occur, or that producers could get into that crop, which needs dry conditions because it is quite fleshy until it dries down.
Cuminex says harvest in the southwest region is about 75% complete. Cereal harvest is 90 to 95% complete. Canola, 75%. In the northwest, harvest reported 70% complete. Spring wheat is 90 to 95% complete in the Swan River area. And in the Roblin area, it's 85% complete. The canola harvest in the Dauphin region is reported as 90% complete. But in the Swan River region, it's just 30% complete. As for yields and crop quality,
our yields for cereal crops are above average and quality is excellent. And that's probably better than what we typically would see on a normal year. With Manitoba, we tend to get a lot of rain and therefore we get disease incidents. And in cereals, that means fusarium head blight. And this year in Manitoba, our fusarium head blight damage kernels are really minimal, which is excellent. So that is better than normal. And the yields have stayed quite high, if not higher than what we do see in some really wet years. That's excellent. In canola, we are seeing average yields, so a little bit more of what we would see normally, maybe not as high as what we've seen in the past couple of years, but again, quality is excellent. With flax, we are seeing very good yields as well, which on a hot year was a surprise. Peas, the yields were down a little bit just due to the really dry start of the season. And with our winter cereals, it was yields were lower due to dry earlier seasons. Soybeans, our yields are average to below average. And that's not what we have seen in the past few years. We've had fairly good yields in 2016, 2015, 2017 was a little lower. And this year, unfortunately, I think our average soybean yield for across Manitoba is going to be lower than that of 2017 even.
Spring wheat yields around Swan River running between 65 and 85 bushels an acre. In the Roblin area, it's about 65. For canola, yields of 45 to 60 bushels an acre are being reported around Swan River. And in the Dauphin region, 35 to 50. Kubinek says the precipitation over the past week will help replenish topsoil moisture reserves.
With the rainfall that we received earlier on in last week, the soil moisture situation remained relatively the same, but with continued rainfall throughout the week through most of the province, as well as not really hot days, the soil was actually allowed to retain that soil moisture, and we are starting to see higher levels of soil moisture in the top 2 inches and then even in the top 5 to 10 inches, which is good for recharge of the soil for next year. Unfortunately, it's not really doing anything to benefit the crop that is still out there. It's done taking up the moisture that it needs, and it's in the dry down process right now.
Anastasia Kubinek is manager of crop development with Manitoba Agriculture. It's coming up on 9 before 1, before 2 in Manitoba, and time for the closing grain prices. It's a presentation today of Ray Nordine, your REMAX Blue Chip Realty Ag Specialist.
Commodities Update.
It was another down day for canola futures. November canola closed at $486.40 a metric ton, down $2.40 from yesterday's close. January canola, $492.60, down $3. December, Minneapolis wheat closed today at 580 and a quarter a bushel, up 5 cents. December, Kansas City wheat, 516, up 3 and a quarter. December, Chicago wheat, 510 and a half, up 4 and a quarter. December corn closed down at 343 and a quarter, down 4 and 3 quarters. November soybeans, 814 a bushel, down 9 and a half cents. And December oats closed today at 245 and 3 quarters, up 2 and 3 quarters. And those are today's closing grain prices. And finally on the program today, railways, grain companies, and farm organizations participated in a roundtable discussion on rail grain transportation in Saskatoon last week. That meeting hosted by Federal Agriculture Minister Lawrence McCauley and Transport Minister Mark Garneau. CN Rail's CEO Jean-Jacques Rouet participated in the meeting. He was asked what he came away with.
Obviously, we learn all the time. We learn all the time about the business, their need, the things that really matter to them, the things that we may be able to do differently. So all these things, they're very productive.
Both CN and CP have made significant capital expenditures for new locomotives, hopper cars, and additional employees to hopefully provide a better, more reliable service.
We are increasing our capital spending very significantly. 25 cents of every dollar is put back in the railroad as a form of CapEx. $3.5 billion is our capital spend. This year, the highest capital expenditure of our history at CN to create more capacity. And all the capacity will benefit all the industry, especially those who are in Western Canada, between Winnipeg and the coast. This is where we're putting most of our capital spend. So that's, we should be in better position with more capacity.
CN Rail CEO Jean-Jacques Rouet. Cabri area farmer Kevin Hirsch also participated in the roundtable discussion. He's also the executive director of the Inland Terminal Association.
You remember back just a few years ago, it would be pretty rare for senior people from the railways to sit down with a group of farmers. You didn't see them speak to farm meetings. You didn't see them have, you know, communication plans. And they were very forthright and forthcoming today. So I think ongoing dialogue and actually breaking down some of those long-held barriers is some of the more valuable things we can do, because there'll be things that arise that you don't foresee. But if you can talk about them when the problems do arrive and each side understands each other a little bit better, I think that it's a great thing. And I think the grain industry coming together and pushing for Bill C-49 and getting many aspects of Bill C-49 that they wanted shows the strength of the farm community working together, and obviously got the attention of the railways as well. They realize there's a powerful organized lobby there, and there's reasonable ideas. And I think it's the dawning of a really interesting time with C-49 coming into fruition, and with this sort of cooperation and communication and very aggressive investment plans by both major railways. I'm more optimistic than I've ever been over the future of rail transportation.
There was also some discussion at the roundtable about the prospects for shipping grain through the Port of Churchill now that the port and the Hudson Bay Railway have been sold to a private-public partnership that includes AGT Food and Ingredients of Regina. Of course, this discussion occurred just prior to the federal government announcing $117 million in funding to restore the railway and to subsidize operations of the railway and the port.
Churchill will always be a small percentage of the total, even if they can ramp up to 500,000 or 600 or 700,000 tons. But, you know, one of the ITAC terminals, some of them are in the range of 400 to 500,000 tons, they themselves, one individual terminal, you know, as far as their handle. So everything is helpful. But I think when you see a player like AGT involved, I think you get a whole lot more hope that they know what they're doing and they've got this figured out. It would also be interesting to know all of the financial ramifications and what the federal government threw into this to make it work, because they really wanted this to work. But you've got a commercial player that sees a role. So I'm optimistic. Am I optimistic that there'll be a million or 2 million tons? I don't think that'll happen. But I think, you know, any little bit helps, and you know, it'll be something to watch with interest. I was one of the people that thought when Omnitracs took it over that they would, oh, here's somebody that knows what they're doing and this should really fly. Didn't go that well.
Kevin Hirsch is a farmer and journalist, also the executive director of the Inland Terminal Association. He participated in grain transportation meetings in Saskatoon last week, hosted by Federal Agriculture Minister Lawrence McCauley and Transport Minister Mark Garneau. And we'll close out GX on Agriculture now with our precision weather forecast for the Quill Lakes, Hudson Bay, Swan River, Broadview-Moosomin, Indian Head, Yorkton, Melville, Roblin, and Russell regions. Partly to mainly cloudy this afternoon. Wind north-northwest 10 to 20, high 10. Partly cloudy tonight. Wind north-northwest 10 to 20 once again. Overnight low plus 1. Partly to mainly sunny tomorrow. Wind northwest 10 to 20, high 13. Thursday, partly sunny. East-northeast wind 10 to 20, high 11. Friday, 50% chance of spotty showers and breezy, high 12. 70% chance of showers Saturday, windy once again, high only 7 degrees. On the temperature roundup this hour, 4 in the Paw along with Hudson Bay, 5 degrees in Indian Head, Wynyard, Wadena, Kelvington, and Roblin, 6 this hour for Broadview Moosomin, Swan River, 7 degrees in Dauphin and Regina, Saskatoon, Shoal Lake Russell, 8, Brandon, 12. In the Yorkton-Melville region, it's cloudy. The wind is west-northwest at 15. Relative humidity, 74%. Our current temperature is 6 degrees. And that's our time for today. Join me again tomorrow afternoon at 12:15 for GX on Agriculture. And don't forget to register your farm family today for GX94 Supper in the Field contest. We're down to our final 2 weeks in Supper in the Field. 306-783-8622 is all you have to do to call in and register your farm family. Then listen to GX on Agriculture tomorrow. I'll announce our winner, and of course, we'll take Supper in the Field to that lucky farm tomorrow evening. Kentucky Fried Chicken in Yorkton provides the supper as well. Our other sponsors, Pattison Agriculture and Sask Milk, will have some gifts for our lucky winner. Again, that's our time for today. We'll chat again tomorrow. I'm Rod McDonald.